Okay, so we're on the bottom of Hey Amud Aleph. Just to, confess that I find this entire topic, and I mentioned this yesterday on the recording for those who heard, the very idea of Yisurin Shel Avon, Shvarach Hu is coming and punishing people, and this really seems to be two different definitions of Yisurin Shel Avon. The first definition of Yisurin Shel Avon, which the Gemara alluded to or spoke about in Hey Amud Aleph, is that person who's done nothing wrong in their life. There's no Bittul Torah, no Bittul Tefillah, no this, no that. But yet, Kosh Baruch Hu comes to be memaric them and to sort of almost like sweeten them by giving them punishments now so that they're shared in Olam Haba and that they've been sort of cleansed in a way for the world to come. So that's sort of one type of Yisurin Shel Avon. Like, the guy's done nothing wrong. We're going to punish him sort of Shelo Kedin. And the other is, you know, maybe even a person who's done something wrong, but those Yisurin are coming from like a place of Avo Kadosh Baruch Hu, right? Meaning, okay, the guy has done something wrong, but the punishment is not a punitive punishment. The punishment is a loving punishment, right? It's a difficult topic, you know, and especially when we're going to see on Hayim and Bays issues of people losing children and et cetera, et cetera. You know, it's not, obviously, the whole purpose of the Gemara is that God is a loving God, and the idea of Olam Haba is like a real idea. It's still difficult, you know, so much so that I mentioned on the recording yesterday that the Rambam does not believe in the whole idea of Yisurin Shel Avon, right? He said it's not a Jewish concept, it's this concept that was taken from somewhere else. And then the question is, why is it here in the Gemara? The Rambam basically says that this is sort of like a foreign concept that somehow sort of found its way into even certain opinions in the Gemara, much as, for instance, something that we know well here in Muncie, people doing kaparos, for instance, right, became like a practice that spread doing kaparos. Some people are very into kaparos. The Rashba quotes in the Torah, and Me'el Rishonim also, that this is Darchei Mori, right? This is a Christian practice that somehow became co-opted by Jews and done by Jews. That's why some people don't do Tasha for that reason as well. Meaning it's possible over a period of time that certain ideologies... Now, I'm not saying the Rambam is right, because we're not talking about a couple Yahoos doing Tashlich or whatever it is, but speaking about something that's in the Gemara, advocated by the Tanayim. But again, that very Shitas HaRambam is indicative as to how difficult this topic is, right? Okay, so the Gemara says in the bottom of Hey Amud Aleph, so Tani Tana Kamed Rabbi Yochanan, says anybody who's involved, Kolozei Betorah Gmilas Chasadim, V'Kover Es Banav, Mochum Lo Akovon Esav. Anybody who's involved in these things, involved in Limud Torah, Gmilas Chasadim, and also you unfortunately have to bury your children, so Mochum Lo Akovon Esav. So the person's slate is totally clean, and he's gotten rid of all of his avonos. So Amar Le Rabbi Yochanan Bishma Torah Gmilas Chasadim. Of course, we understand why Torah Gmilas Chasadim has such like an impact. Mochel avonos of Dichsiv Bechesed VeEmes Yichupar Avon. That with Chesed and Emes, a person will have his avonos miskamper. What are these things? Chesed zug milas chasadim shenema roder tzedakah v'chesed yimotze chayim tzedakah v'kavod. Okay, that a person who seeks after, runs after tzedakah v'chesed, he will find in his own life chayim tzedakah v'kavod. Again, Chesed here referring to milas chasadim. Emes zutora shenema emes kana v'yal timkor, that you should be kona for yourself emes and you should not get rid of the emes. Again, clearly referring to either Torah or some type of, you know, higher truth. Okay, Elikover, it's Banav, so Minayin. How do we know that a person who buries their children, that this is a kapara for them? Maybe asking the question, how do we know that if a person buries their children, that is Yisurin Shel Avon? So Tana Lehu Saba Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai, Asya Avon Avon. I'm sorry, I just skipped a few lines.
No,
I didn't. Okay. El Kovers Banav Minayin. Tana Leha Husaba Mishmar Yishim Ben Yochai Asiya Avon Avon. Ksiv Hacha Bechesed VeEmes Yichupar Avon. Uksiv Hasam Mishalem Avon Avos El Chayk Beneihem. That you will return Avon Avos. Namely, that the fulfillment of the Avon Avos El Chayk Beneihem will be sort of Nishlam will be fulfilled through the Chek Beneim, sort of through their children. So the Avonos sort of find its expression in what happens to the children. And just as far as, again, theological concepts are difficult, this certainly is a difficult concept, right? The idea that children are going to be responsible for the sins of the father, etc. How we understand that concept is something which I don't fully understand, but it's only something to look into at a different point. I mean, just philosophically, you know, people are responsible for themselves, and why would one suffer for the sins of the father, or sins of anybody else, for that matter? Okay, so Amar Rabbi Yochanan, negayim ubanim einam yisurim shel av. If a person is afflicted in either through negayim, through tzaras, or through things that happen to their children, the death of their children, that is not considered to be Yisurin Shava. That's not a Kadosh Baruch Hu coming and lovingly punishing a person to allow them a greater Chegelim Haba. That's just Stam Yisurin. That's just pain. That's just pure punishment, right? That's not Yisurin Shava. So you sort of have Yisurin Shava, then you have just sort of a person being punished for their sins. Okay? So Udugayim Lo, when a person gets Saras, is that not considered to be Yisurin Shava? V'hatanya kol mi sheyesh po echa mi'arba maros negayim halalu einan ela mizbeach kapara. So mizbeach kapara or mizevach kapara?
There's
no nekudos
here.
Right, no, I know, I'm sort of... maybe either one, right?
Mizbach.
So, you know, Mizbach Kapara. This is like the, this is sort of like an altar of Kapara, of atonement. So, obviously, if it's Mizbach Kapara, that would seem to be Yisurin Shel Ava. So, the Gemara makes a distinction. Mizbach Kapara Havu, Yisurin Shel Ava Lo Havu. You're right, it might be a Kapara, but it's not coming from a place of love, right? So, as I said, everyone's like thinking when you punish your children, there's a sort of like punishment of anger. They've done something wrong and you just want to, you know, and then there's sort of sometimes lovingly having to, discipline or punish your kids, but maybe like the energy around that, to use terms like a modern day parlance, is different. Okay, so it is Mizrach Bar Havu, Yisur Shava Lo Havu. Okay, Vibai Seima Halon Bo Halahu. So we know, both of you obviously are well learned, so we know that that the Gemara often, in dealing with a stira, will say, yeah, well, maybe there's like different, norms, depending in whether it's halon v'halahu. What's halon v'halahu?
Us and them.
Us and them. So who's us and them? So us and them would be whether you're living in Bavel, whether you're living in Eretz Yisrael. And we have this in many, many different places where there might be a difference. So for instance, the Gemara says in Kedushin, whether a person should get married first and then go learn, or learn first then get married, might depend on whether they're living in Eretz Yisrael or Bavel for various reasons. And the Chachamim Rashi tells us what that is. But we have this principle of Halon Vahu comes up, maybe 10 times in Shas. Okay, so what would the difference be between Halon Vahalahu, whether it's sort of us versus them? So if you look in Rashi, three lines down, Be'eretz Yisrael, Sha'arei Choma Mekudashas, Umitzora ta'un shiluach chutzalahen. So einan yisurin shava, that the mitzora has it so sort of difficult and it's so painful for him, he has to sort of leave Yushalayim, he has to go outside the walls of Yushalayim. Like such a punishment could not be yisurin shava, but bavel she'ein ta'un shiluach v'hein mizbach kapara have yisurin shava. But it's not sort of so difficult, so then that is Yisurin Shava. And what Rashi is doing is making chiluk, which, maybe we'll see in a second, isn't sort of so obvious, that Yisurin Shava versus non-Yisurin Shava is like how difficult the Yisurin are. If you have to go outside of Yishalayim, that would not be Yisurin Shava. If you stay inside the city, it is Yisurin Shava. And we're going to see in a second, maybe that's not a distinction that sort of totally holds up.
Losing one's kid is not
the exactly. Thing. So we're going to see in a second that maybe there's like a different distinction, and the person can sort of then go back and question, this Gemara and Rashi sort of based on that distinction coming up in a second. Okay, so that's sort of answer number two, halon v'halahu. And lastly, the third answer of the fact that our negayim on the one hand are not Yisurin Shava, on the other hand, they're referred to as a mizbach kapara. V'ibay seima habitzina, Habafar Hesia. It depends like where the tzaras are. If the tzaras are in a place that's like hidden in your body or hidden on your clothing, then that is Yisurin Sholava. If it's a place that's for Hesia, that can't be Yisurin Sholava. But again, sort of making the distinction of how easy the Yisurin are to deal with. Ubanim lo, losing children not considered to be Yisurin Sholava. Hey Chidami, right? What's sort of the circumstances? E lema de havulahu umasu, that the person had children and then the children were taken from them. I was just thinking as we were doing this, like how do people, like when I was the rabbi in KBY, there were 5 people who lost children over the years there. You know, one from drowning, one from overdose, car accident, cancer, et cetera, et cetera. It's like, you know, I'm grateful that I never learned this Gemara before with people sitting there who've actually lost children, you know, and how like sort of the sensitivities, even in Chazal or in learning about people's lives. So Gemara says, "Hey Chidami, Ilem the Havulahu Umasu V'Yomer V'Yochanan." One of the most sort of provocative lines in Shas. So Rav Yochanan said about himself. So Dein Garma Dasira Ber. This is the bone of my 10th son, namely. Now, Rav Yochanan, so take a look in Rashi over here. So, Dein Garma da Sira Ber, Ze Etzem Shel Ben Asiri Shemes Lo. This is the bone of the 10th child that I've lost. Okay, again, people used to lose children, obviously, quite often, up until about, 100 years ago. We used to lose kids all the time. But he had lost 10 kids. And according to Tosfos, he would go to sort of Shiva houses. And we'll see in the Gemara coming up. And when people were in so much pain, he would say, I've lost sort of 10 children. Not to say, you don't think that you have it bad. I really have it bad. But it's to be able to say,
I'm with you in your pain.
I'm with you in your pain. And also to say that if I've lost like so many kids, so it must be the losing a child is Yisurin Shalava. And take heart in the fact that it's Yisurin Shalava. Now, well, maybe let's take a look in the next Rashi. Kamo ber vitzar etzem pachos pikas ora. Rashi is bothered by issues of sort of tumah v'tara and walking around with this, besides like the image of it. You're walking around with your child's femur in your hand. So now you took a little piece of a bone. What is that?
Hanging on the necklace.
Yeah, exactly. So mimena besudru la agmas nefesh, right? To sort of maybe, and I think maybe this is exactly what Shaul just said, the Imanochi Vitzara. So the Gavra Rabba Kro Yochanan lo ba lo Yisurin Shehena Shava. It must be that a great person only has Yisurin Shava. So I just want to maybe make 2 ha'aras over here. The first ha'ara is that Tosfos points out, is it really true that like what Rashi just says, the Gavra Rabba Kro Yochanan lo ba lo Yisurin Shehena Shava, that a great person can only receive Yisurin Shava, things that are positive for a person, things that are loving for a person. That seems to be Rashi's understanding. And Tosa says it's clearly not true. People who are suffer all the time, you don't always say that it's Yisurin Shalava. And Tosa says, okay, you're right. And Tosa disagrees with Rashi. And Tosa allows for the fact that people can really suffer in this world, and we don't necessarily call those Yisurin Shalava, where Rashi seems to assume that a great person, it can only be Yisurin Shalava. Okay, that's issue number one. Issue number two, which is, I guess, I won't say a pet peeve of mine, but it's only something as you go through the Gemaras and the Shulchan Aruch and the Noseh Kalim about appropriate and inappropriate things to say to a person after they've lost somebody. Now again, Rav Yochanan is coming, and there is a very powerful almost source of connection. He sort of says, I've lost so much also, and I'm sort of with you in that suffering. Typically anybody who tries to ever come and say things, especially depending on the situation, that are sort of comforting about Olam Haba and about your child's in a better place or blah, 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 blah. It's almost 100% of the time inappropriate, and wildly insensitive, So, and that's why the Shulchan Aruch says, and where it says you come silently, you figure out what the person, sort of where he is and how to respond to that person, and often the less the better, and, et cetera, et cetera, as opposed to people, and this often happens with young people, or zealously religious people who are trying to bring sort of theological answers to someone who's sitting Shiva, it's inappropriate, and that's sort of why Rashi and Rishon are saying that's not what Rabbi Yochanan is trying to do. You know, he's not like trying to come and. Well, it is a little bit. It's not totally true. I mean, again, the Pshat of the Gemara is Yochanan is saying, "I've lost many kids. This must be a certain Shrava, which means that this must have a purpose for Olam Haba." Again, Rabbi Yochanan could do that, and maybe it was appropriate for Rabbi Yochanan. It's only not appropriate for us to try to do such things. Okay, so the Gemara concludes, or Gemara continues. So, is losing children considered to be a certain Shalava? On the one hand, we say that it's not, but from this sort of line of Rabbi Yochanan, the implication is that it is a certain Shalava. Elohad lo havel hu klal, v'had havele umeso. We make a distinction, okay? And imagine there should be a distinction we never know from. So the Elohad lo havel hu klal. When is Yusurin not Yusurin Shalava? That's when a person never had children in the first place. That's just sort of pure punishment for a person. When we say this Yusurin Shalava, it's when a person actually had children, which is consistent with Rabbi Yochanan, and those children have passed away. Again, go back to Rashi. Tahavalu banim umesu, havaluhu Yusurin Shalava, shehavelus mechaperes alavonosov. Is Yisurin Shalava because the process of losing a child and the Avelus is so painful that it's Mechaper Avonosov. So therefore we say that can only be Yisurin Shalava, something that's so painful. Now, just again to be clear, I hope that it's not too early in the morning for this distinction, this seems to sort of fly in the face of what we said before. Negayim in Eretz Yisrael that are really difficult because you have to leave the city, that can't be Yisurin Shalava. And now we're saying that Dafka, when you lose, what's that?
So I'll be pointed up before.
Right. And now when you're losing children, which would seem to be, at least in my estimation, far more painful than ever having children in the first place, the pain of that, the ability to that, that's mechaper, something so painful must only be there for the process of some type of sort of moral, spiritual cleansing. Again, I'm sure there's a lot on this topic, as far as mefarshim that I've not seen before. Certainly no baki on this or anything else. But it's only be interesting to sort of go through some of the Rishonim. The Ramban speaks about this and sort of see how to put together sort of the picture of what is Yisurin Shalava, what is the distinction, when did that apply, etc. Okay, one of my favorite Gemaras in Shas, especially as it relates to... at least sort of like being a Rav for a lot of years and sort of how you want to come to a hospital room or to a place of Avelus. And this really is the model for that. And it's also just for Maharim Makom is on this. There's a lot of the Maharal that describes beautifully sort of what's going on in this Gemara. Rechi bar Abba Cholosh means that he got very, very ill. So Aul Gabe Rav Yochanan. So Amr Lai Chavivin Alecha Yisurin. So he says, are you like sort of loving these Yisurin? You know that for you, Rabbi Chia, these Yisurin must be Yisurin Shalava. So Rabbi Chia, who's not trying to sort of apply some type of like false religiosity or false saintliness, he says, Lohem Velo Tzcharon. I'm not enjoying the Yisurin. I'm not enjoying the Tzchar of it. So now, like, I'm absolutely miserable lying here in my deathbed or my sickbed, etc. So Rav Yochanan Tarmis says, Amar le, hav le yadcha. So he said, hey, give me your hand. Yoiv le yade v'ukme. He gave him his hand and he sort of lifted him from the bed. Right? Now v'ukme, the Maharal says, does not mean that he performs sort of a miracle. It means that by giving him his hand, so he's able to sort of like lift him up sort of in spirit in a way. And there's different reforms who give different answers, but you know, the very image is like, I'm not trying to give you a terrorist, I'm trying this. I'm sort of sitting there, you know, like, you know, lifting you just in the spirit of like friendship. Okay. Rav Yochanan Chalosh, and then Rav Yochanan himself became sick, right? So, Auli Gabe Rav Chanina, Amr Le Chavivin Alecha Yisurin. So, Amr Le Lohem Velo Scharan. Anybody see anything interesting about this Gemara?
It's Rav Yochanan now, himself.
Rav Yochanan, the tide is now turned.
Yeah.
When Rav Yochanan wasn't sick, he could go to Rechi and say, you know, do you love these Yisurin? Okay. When he was one who's actually sick, you know, he probably realized that the question it was not such a great question. So when the question was posed to him, he says, you know, Lohem Velo Scharan. So Amar Lei, so Rabbi Chanina says to him, Havli Yodcha, so Yoiv Le Yodeh V'ukmei. So am I looking Rav Yochanan Avshei? you know, if Rav Yochanan already sort of had some type of insight about the nature of sort of lifting oneself from the bed, so why did he need Rabbi Chanina to do that? Why can Rav Yochanan sort of maybe apply the same koach he used on Rabbi Chia, maybe apply it to himself? I don't totally understand that question, but maybe why can Rav Yochanan sort of attend to his own recovery? So Amri ein chavish matir atzmo mi beis hasurim. This is a very famous line, and I think a very, very relevant line, right? A person who is ensnared or encaptured or jailed by anything, he can't be the one who's matir atzmo beis hasurim, right? And by the way, there's a lot in this in regards to anything, right? In regards to Parah Aduma, that the person is sort of metaher another person when the person has tumas meis, right? The nature of like recovery work from addiction. You know, like a person cannot sort of always get himself out of his own jail. There's usually a process that involves other people when it comes to that. Okay, Vaitus, well, there's 7 minutes left. So Eliezer Cholosh, Aulugabe Rabbi Yochanan. So Chazer the Havika, Gadim Beis Ofel, he saw that he was sitting in a dark room. Okay, so a very strange line. The Gemara, so Galil Dare, Venafo Nahora. So he lifted up his like arm, Venafo Nahora, and like Rabbi Yochanan's skin like shone. The Gemara says in many places Rabbi Yochanan was very, very beautiful, and he had like a certain like shine to his body, a certain radiance to his body. So he lifted up his arm, and sort of light filled the room. Okay, so Chazio. So once sort of the room was more lit, so he saw Chazio have a kavi bachir Eliezer. He saw Eliezer was crying. So Amar lei amayka bachis. Right, you're lying here. You know why are you crying? Like why are you in so much pain? So imishum Torah de lo avshas. I guess maybe he thought that Rabbi Eliezer was going to die. He says, like, you know, why is your death so difficult for you? Or why is your pain so difficult? What's sort of behind that? Is it because of the Torah that you have not learned before? So Shaninu, Echad Amar B'Echad Amamit, V'Vat Sheichad Nalibu L'Shemayim. Even if you haven't learned everything in the world, so as long as your Kavanas are Shemayim, so that would be enough. So take sort of solace in that. V'Mishum Mizoneh. And if it's because perhaps you didn't make a good living in your life, so he says, Lo kol adam zocha l'shtei shulchanos. He says, you know, you can't always be zocha to shulchanos. Namely, the same person who learns a lot and is involved in like tzarkei tzibur often is not going to make a great living. So, you know, take solace. V'mishum b'nei, if it's because maybe you've lost a child. So he says, "Dein garma da sira ber." So again, he showed him sort of this little etzem, this little piece of a bone of his son. He said, "Take solace that must be yisurin shel ava." Again, and this would not be advice that normally we would follow. You know, why are you so sad? Why are you this? Why are you that? Take solace in that. In other words, like, that's not always sort of the response to a person who's sort of in pain. So Amar lei. So Rabbi Eliezer turns to Rabbi Yochanan and he says, "L'hai shufra, I'm crying because of the shufra. What's shufra? Because of your beauty, Rabbi Yochanan, the boli be afra kabachina. That's going to eventually sort of be in the dust. That's why I'm crying, right? I'm crying because of the realization of mortality, that the sort of the beautiful figure of the body, and specifically Rabbi Yochanan's body, is eventually going to be sort of, you know, dust and ashes." And the obvious question is, why would you be crying about that? You know, you're not crying about your Torah, you're not crying about this, you're crying about the fact about man's mortality. Is that really who we think Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yochanan? And if you sort of see the next line, so he says, so I'm really, alda vaday kabachis, right? Like, on that, you have a reason to cry, ubachu travayu. Both Rabbi Yochanan and Eliezer cried. That's what they're crying about, like mortality, that Rabbi Yochanan's beauty is going to now sort of be, decimated. It seems to sort of fly in the face of the values that we know. But the Maharsha just very quickly says that Rabbi Yochanan's beauty was a remnant of the radiance of Yushalayim. That's what the Gemara says in Bava Metzia. It was like a radiance of a certain time. So when Ezra is crying over Rabbi Yochanan's lost beauty in the future, and Rabbi Yochanan joins him in those tears, it's a realization of sort of, in a way, a Yuridus Hadoros. As long as there was a connection to Yushalayim, there was a connection to Hod V'Hadar, etc., etc. With the passing of time, so that's going to be lost. And that's something we probably, to some degree, feel in regards to Yuridus Hadoros. And that is something Rabbi Yochanan says that is worth crying. Okay. So he says, so Adhachi Bihachi, Rabbi Yochanan sort of goes back to the well of his standard question. So Amar Lech, Chaviv and Alach Yisurin. Oh, by the way, do you enjoy these Yisurin? Are they precious to you? Amar Lech, Lohim de Lescharan. So Amar Lech, Havli Yadcha, Yoiv Le Yadei Ve'ukmei. Okay. Rav Huna, Takifule, Arba Mea, Donai de Chamra. This doesn't sound like something that a person should lose their mind about, but obviously this was his whole parnasa. Rabbi Rav Huna, 400 barrels of wine became turned into vinegar, right? Again, that's a significant amount of money. So perhaps one would say these are Yisurin Shalava. So Ali Gabe Rav Yehuda, Achva de Rav Salah Chasida, Rav Yehuda V'Rabbanan, they came to visit Rabbi Rav Huna. V'Yamri La, Rav Adabar Hava V'Rabbanan, V'Yamru Lei, and they said to him, La'ayin mar b'mile. He says, you should do cheshbon and nefesh about why this thing, this difficult, pernicious thing happened to you. So Amar Lahu, U'mi chashidna b'aynaichu? Said, am I choshed in your eyes? I've done something wrong? Why are you telling me I should do cheshbon and nefesh? Again, everyone should do cheshbon and nefesh, but is there something that happened that made you think that I've done something wrong? So Amar Lahu, so mi choshed kosh baruch hu, do you have a dina below dina? He said, are you then being choshed in kosh baruch hu that he does din without righteousness to that din? Meaning if something happened, there must be a reason for it. Now what this line in the Gemara does, it sort of doesn't seem to be on the same page as the previous Gemara that says that if you've done nothing wrong, those are Yisurin Shalava. So maybe a Kosh Baruch Hu sometimes does bring that, but that's not what the Gemara addresses. So Amar Lahu, Milsa Lema. If there's somebody that has heard something about me that is wrong, so Lema, let him say it. So Amar Lahu, Haki Shmielon. So what did we hear? Delo Yahid Mar Shavisha Larise. You have somebody who's like a sharecropper who's renting out land from you, and you have responsibilities for him, and you didn't give him shavisha, which is like the piece of the vineyard, gourds of the vineyard that you're supposed to give to him. So Amar Lahu, so Mika Shavik Li Mide, Mide Mine. It's not that I held back from him. Haka Ganav Le Kule. He stole from me. So I held back a little bit, almost as like a small fraction of everything that my sharecropper stole from me. Okay, so Amrule, Haidu Di Amri Inchi, yeah, that may be true, but Basar Ganva Ganav, V'tayim V'tayim. If you go and you steal from a Ganav, even a Ganav who stole from you, so it's a beautiful line, V'tayim V'tayim, then you've tasted a little bit of what it means to be a Ganav, right? You know, you may feel you're justified, and I'm going to hop right over here. I'll say it outright. I'm not going to pay taxes. I'm not going to. You've tasted a little bit of being a ganav, and I think we see that in our own life. That when you try to sort of circumvent a system, you've integrated a negative midah into you. Okay, so so let's just finish the two dots and we'll pick up there. So Amar Lahu, so Kabil Nalai. You know what? I've been sort of mekabel upon myself the fact that I have done something wrong. The Yehivna Lay, and I've been mekabel upon myself that I'm going to give to my sharecropper or my person working in my field. So Ikad Yomri, so what happened once he sort of mekabel himself to fix his life? So Hadar Chala V'Hava Chamra, a miracle occurred and the wine went back and turned, or the vinegar went and turned back into wine. V'Ikad Yomri, Iker Chala V'Yizdavim B'Dmeid Chamra. There was like a rush on vinegar in the market and the vinegar became more expensive. These davim b'dmei chamra. He was selling the vinegar for the price that he would normally sell the wine. Once he was sort of able to be masakin his own behavior. Okay, we'll pick up here, Mr. Shem, tomorrow. Thank you.